morning I want to speak about seeking the Lord. Sadly, among a lot of true reporting, there is a lot of fake news, conspiracy theories and misinformation. It is good and vital to know that when so much of our lives is being shaken, the Bible, the Word of God, is always true. It never fails and is never shaken. It is always dependable, and though heaven and earth may pass away, my words, said Jesus, will never pass away. The Bible does not mention the coronavirus by name, but it does speak of many things which will comfort, strengthen, and guide us through this incredibly testing time. It is literally a compass in uncharted territory. The verse I want to draw our attention to this morning is from Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. I'm just going to read it. Exodus 33, verse 7. It says, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it outside the camp, far away from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was far outside the camp. Now something had happened that had brought them to this point. Due to a national crisis among the people of Israel, as they were in the wilderness, the tabernacle, that is the place where God met with his people, was removed from the center of the camp to far outside it. It was no longer nearby, close, or convenient. Thus, people who had a mind and a heart to seek the Lord had to make a specific effort to do so. In the story, they left their tents and made time to seek God. Now, we cannot leave our homes at this time. We're not allowed to do so. But in order to seek God, certain things do need to be left. These include a mindset, familiarity, routine, and other things that have been enforced upon us during these days. We could feel lost, but the Lord remains, and we need to seek him. As David Vine mentioned last week, this is an opportunity to seriously reflect upon our lives and seek the Lord in a fresh way, in a way perhaps we have not done for a long, long time before. I know that many are experiencing this already, and I would encourage it to continue. It would be good to learn from this time and make sure that our connection to the Lord remains, but also deepens and strengthens. So going back to the story of the tabernacle being removed, what led up to this? It can be found in chapters 31 and 32 in Exodus. Moses is up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. While he is there, the people down below get impatient, wondering where he was and when he may return. We must do something, they say. With ideas in their heads, they approach Aaron, the high priest, who unbelievably makes a golden calf and declares that this is their God who took them out of Egypt. The people worship it. They bow down to it. They sing, they dance. They even party before it. God warns Moses about what is happening, and he descends from the mountain, along with Joshua, his assistant. As they approach the camp, they hear a noise. It's war, says Joshua. Not so, says Moses. It's far worse than that. The people had disobeyed and broken God's commands, and in dramatic representation of this act, Moses breaks the stone tablets. The law had been broken. The golden calf is then taken and ground to powder and scattered upon the water, so that it can never be remade. 3,000 people are killed, and a plague comes upon the people. This was the first major outbreak of death amongst Israel since the people had left Egypt, and they would have thought that such a thing could never have happened to them. It was a terrible time and a national crisis. Now, I'm not saying that God has sent the coronavirus, There's no way I'm saying that. Neither am I saying that any who have died, sadly, tragically died of COVID-19 or got sick are worse than anyone else. It is a huge tragedy on an enormous scale, and God grieves over every life lost. Yet I do think that God has allowed this occasion, this time, so that we may seriously reconsider the way that we live. Remember the number of 3,000 who died. I'll return to that shortly. This was a national crisis for Israel. All seemed lost. It would have been easy to be in total despair. Instead, Moses begins to pray. And in one of the most remarkable prayers of the Bible, Moses even offers up his own life and his own personal place in eternity if God would spare the people. God hears, he acts in mercy, and then withdraws his hand. However, there are certain conditions that need to be met before the repair process among the nation can begin. These are repeated before the people, and as they listen, the seriousness of what has happened begins to be realized and begins to dawn upon their mind. They mourn and they grieve in a way they had never done before. One thing I will say is I must confess that as this pandemic has spread, I have felt a grief for the world that I've never felt before, a grief for its sin, its sorrow, and its pain. Going back to the story in Israel, as the people grieve, they put off every artificial adornment that they had. They remove it from themselves, and they focus only on what was of the utmost importance, and they begin to seek the Lord. Picture it. It is just them and God. And as they seek, light, life, and hope begin to flow back in. The broken tablets are eventually remade. It's an obvious statement, but worth mentioning, that there were still 10 commands, and they were still the same ones. There were no amendments, additions, conditions, or deletions. Nothing had changed. God's standards of holiness had not altered. And just because they had broken the second one about having no idols, that one, nor any other, had been removed. It remained there with the others. So the people began to seek the Lord. Probably just a few at first, but then no doubt their numbers began to grow. Mindsets began to change in the way they thought, spoke, behaved and lived. And most of all, they changed the way they thought about God, putting him first and foremost in their lives. The Bible calls this process repentance, which simply means a change of mind about the way we think, about everything. So how do we seek the Lord? I want to suggest four main ways. Firstly, consciously, every day, particularly in the morning, give and commit yourself and those with you to God. Secondly, be aware of his presence. Draw near to him. Remember, he wants to be nearer to you than you are to him. Thirdly, pray. Cry out to God for mercy. Set a regular time aside each day in your home to seek God. If you're one of those many people whose lives have become more busy as a result of all this, 2 to 3 or more times a day, lift your heart and thoughts to God in worship, gratitude, and intercession for this situation and even beyond. And fourthly, read your Bible. Get into a regular daily habit, if possible, of reading. If you don't have a Bible, try to get one, or even download it onto your mobile phone. Again, I would say that my reading of Scripture has taken on a new freshness in the past 2 to 3 weeks. If you are any who are not Christians and are listening to this, if you've never read the Bible before, and you're asking where should you begin, I would suggest the New Testament and especially the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, which give an account of the life of Jesus. This would be the best place to start. And as you read, let God speak to you, speak to us all as we read his word. So, what would be the results of seeking the Lord? Let's return to that number of 3,000, the number who died in the story in Exodus. And please understand that I do not attach any contemporary significance to that number. 3,000 died back then. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. It was the day of Pentecost. Listen, not to Moses, but to another man, Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ, speaking before a large crowd. He spoke of Jesus, one who was approved by God, did miracles, was rejected and crucified by men. But then on the third day he rose again from the dead. Because of this, he could forgive sins and offer a new eternal life in their place. This is a message that is relevant today as it was then. People had come from all over the known world on the day of Pentecost for a certain religious festival because they were seeking the Lord. As they sought the Lord, they found themselves listening attentively to the words of Peter. As they sought, listened, and believed, they received something on that day, something that they had never had before. They received life. They received life by the Spirit of God. And if you know the story, you'll remember how many there were. There were 3,000 of them who believed and received the life of God through Jesus Christ, as it was preached to them by the Apostle Peter. The law came by Moses, and when the old law was broken, 3,000 died. When grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, the law was fulfilled, and 3,000 lived. They lived spiritually in a way that they had not lived before. What a glorious promise this is. I want to read a quote by Charles Finney. Often God allows chasms for the very purpose of filling them with the more precious material of his own spiritual blessings. Let's read that again. God sometimes allows chasms for the very purpose of filling them with the more precious material of his own spiritual blessings. So finally, seek God and his mercy in these desperate days. Seek him while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, as Isaiah 55 verse 6. And may the Lord truly help us to respond to him in a way that is most fitting to the time that we find that we are living in. Amen. Now it's time in our homes to turn to prayer. And what I suggest is we just pray for about 1 or 2 minutes. And then we're going to hand back to Mark and we're going to sing one chorus before the meeting closes. So just 1 to 2 minutes to pray on our own, in our own homes, before the Lord, as to how the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Thank you. Amen.